This daily Christian newscast is brought to you in partnership with SermonAudio.com.
It's Tuesday, June 23rd, AD 2020. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by Kevin Swanson and heard at TheWorldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Will the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision, Bostick versus Clayton County, impinge strongly on American religious freedoms for ministries, private schools, and Christian-owned businesses in the future? Last week's landmark decision extended civil rights protections to homosexuals and transgender employees of Christian-owned companies. In his dissenting opinion in the 6-3 decision, Justice Samuel Alito noted, quote, "The court's decision may lead to Title IX cases against any college that resists assigning students of the opposite biological sex as roommates," end quote. Alito's other key findings? 3 thoughts. First, this decision could impact hiring practices for private schools, churches, synagogues, mosques, and other religious institutions. Second, quote, "Transgender employees have brought suit under Title VII to challenge employer-provided health insurance plans that do not cover costly sex reassignment surgery," end quote. And third, quote, "The court's decision may even affect the way employers address their employees and the way teachers and school officials address students in the use of preferred personal pronouns," end quote. But Revelation 12, verse 17 reminds us of the real enemy. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." For several years, the Heritage Foundation placed Hong Kong at the top of their Freedom Index as the freest nation in the world. While Hong Kong had more economic liberty than the United States, Netherlands, Iceland, Denmark, the United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand, the new communist repression of spiritual freedom is another story, where 12% are Christian compared to 7% on mainland China and 4% of the Taiwanese. With the communist takeover of Hong Kong, the Standing Committee of the National People's Congress is working on legislation that will persecute Christian pastors out of the country. The new communist-style legislation would ban secession and so-called subversion of state power, local terrorist activities, or collaborating with foreign or external foreign forces to endanger national security. International Christian Concern noted that such legislation could be used as a just cause to arrest hundreds of Protestant pastors. The Taiwanese government has announced that effective July 1st, they will open a special office for those wishing to escape Hong Kong. Minister Chen Ming Tong said, quote, "The office will supply a one-stop service to Hong Kongers who wish to study, conduct business, make investments, or seek asylum in Taiwan," end quote. Another martyr in India last week, reports International Christian Concern. A mob attacked a Christian man at his home in Jharkhand State and slashed his throat. Realizing the threats on his life, Kandi Mudu told his wife before he was killed to, quote, "remain strong and never to give up her faith in Jesus," end quote. Christianity Today, the Billy Graham Center Send Institute, Exponential, and the Association of Related Churches have conducted a survey and found that 67% of American churches are still not meeting after 3 months of shutdown. 80% of megachurches, with over 1,000 attendees, are not meeting at all. Only 18% of American churches have returned to their, quote, "usual meetings," end quote. Also, almost twice as many rural churches were planning to meet in June over churches in urban centers. Hebrews 10, verse 25 tells us, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Daily deaths attributed to COVID-19 in the United States have dropped from 3,700 on the 3-day rolling average to 514 since the peak around April 21st. The nations with the highest death rates with COVID-19 remain Belgium, the United Kingdom, Spain, Italy, Sweden, and France. The worldwide running average for death by COVID-19 is 5,000, down from 7,000 in April. The Tennessee State Legislature has approved a heartbeat bill banning abortions for children who register a heartbeat, reports LifeNews.com. If a heartbeat is detected, the baby in the womb is protected. Republican Governor Bill Lee is expected to sign it into law. Thus far, heartbeat bills have passed in North Dakota, Ohio, Georgia, Louisiana, Missouri, Iowa, Kentucky, and Mississippi. The bills have not been sustained in lower district courts and still await a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. The battle for the heartbeat bills is documented in Janet Porter's new book entitled A Heartbeat Away: How the Heartbeat Bill Will Pierce the Heart of Roe v. Wade and the Shocking Betrayal No One Saw Coming. Dr. Vodi Bachum, Dean of Theology at African Christian University, was a guest on Glenn Beck's radio program last week, correcting the notion that the popular concept of justice has anything to do with the definition of justice by biblical law. He shared why he believes today's social justice, anti-racism movements are poisonous ideology steeped in Marxist critical theory, which aim to, quote-unquote, redistribute justice to certain societal groups with no consideration for the individual.
Social justice is distributive justice. Social justice is about redistributing resources and opportunities. Social justice is not the same as the biblical idea and the biblical concept of justice. Social justice is built on the back of critical theory, which is all about the idea of hegemony and power structures.
In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Diana Munday in Glendale, Arizona, wrote me at adam@theworldview.com. She said, quote, "I've been a faithful listener since January of this year. Hearing your familiar voice share what's often troubling news in a calm, reassuring manner, and listening to the passages from God's Word, reminds me He is sovereign over each of these events and to pray for His will in these situations. I especially like the links to the articles or ministries so I can read more about a subject. Thank you for your diligence and commitment to helping your listeners have a Christian worldview." End quote. Toward our goal of raising $60,000 by Tuesday, June 30th, to keep the worldview in 5 minutes on the air, we are trying to raise $55,070 by this Friday, June 26th. Listeners had already pledged $42,760. Unfortunately, only one worldview listener stepped up to the plate. We praise God for the generosity of Eric in Madison, Minnesota, who gave $500. Ready for the new grand total? Drum roll, please. Our new total is $43,260. We are now $11,810 away from hitting our $55,070 goal by this Friday, June 26th. We're on the last lap. Can you help us get to the finish line? I need to find 29 listeners to pledge $25 per month for 12 months or give a one-time gift of $300, and another 16 listeners to pledge $50 per month for 12 months or give a one-time gift of $600. Please, go to theworldview.com, click on Give on the top right, and select the correct dollar amount. Don't forget to click on the box to make it a recurring donation if that's your wish. What would God have you do? And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, June 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2020. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com or get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.